scrisă Tarun Kauran Das Prabhuji. I would like to hand over this call to Tiffany Mataji to give an introduction to Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna Padma Mataji. Thank you very much. His Grace Tarun Gauranga Prabhuji was initiated as a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj in 2014. Prabhuji earned a Master of Sciences degree in botany from Mumbai University in 2008. He worked as a lecturer for 3 years before joining ISKCON Chaupati. Since then, Prabhuji has been serving full-time at the temple in the book distribution department, which has allowed him to become deeply familiar with Srila Prabhupada's books and teachings. Tarun Gauranga Prabhuji is also a motivational speaker who teaches Bhagavad Gita so we can all have a peaceful mind to live in an unpeaceful world. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Please accept our humble invitations, Prabhuji. Thank you for coming to us and giving that, enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, 12th chapter and 16th verse onwards. Thank you, Prabhuji. Please, and thank you for your valuable time also. Please giving us coming and giving our association. I would like to hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Please go ahead, Prabhuji.
So we recite the verse together.
Prabhuji, everybody will be on mute. So.
Okay. So I'll just begin with this. So today we are discussing from 5th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is chapter number 12, verse number 16. This chapter is entitled Conversation between Maharaj Rahugan and Jadabharat. Tasman naro sangha su sangha jata jnana sineyai bhavirukta moha harim tadiha kathana shrutabhyam labdha mutiryat ati param adhanma. What word meaning? Tasmat, for this reason, nara, every person, asanga, by detachment from the association of worldly people, susanga, by the association of devotees, jata, produced, jnana, asina, by the sword of knowledge, iha, in this material world, eva, even, ukran moha, whose illusion is completely cut to pieces, harim, the supreme personality of Godhead, tad iha, of his activities, kathana shrutabhyam, by the two processes of hearing and chanting, labdha smrita, the lost consciousness is regained, yati, achieves, atiparam, the ultimate end, and adhanva, of the path back home, back to Godhead. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Simply by associating with exalted devotees, anyone can attain perfection of knowledge, and with the sword of knowledge can cut to pieces the illusory associations with this material world through the association of devotees. One can engage in the service of the Lord by hearing and chanting, Shravanam, Kirtanam. Thus one can revive his dormant Krishna consciousness, and sticking to the cultivation of Krishna consciousness, return home back to Godhead even in this life. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. To become liberated from material bondage, one must give up the association of worldly people and accept the association of devotees. Positive and negative processes are mentioned in this regard. Through the association of devotees, one develops Krishna consciousness, which is dormant within. This Krishna consciousness movement is giving this chance to everyone. We are giving shelter to everyone who is serious about progressing in Krishna consciousness. We arrange for their lodging and board so that they can peacefully cultivate Krishna consciousness and return home back to Godhead even in this life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ఉమ్ఞానతిమిరంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకాయ చక్షుర్ ఉన్మితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురువే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప గదామయ్యం దదాతి స్వాపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుధాపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగరజాతం సహగణారఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణాలలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రశ్నాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇతి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే. జై శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. వెల్కమ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ ఫర్ ద శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్లాస్ అండ్ ఐఎమ్ వెరీ గ్రేట్ఫుల్ అండ్ థ్యాంక్ యూ సో మచ్ మాతాజీ ఫర్ ఇన్వైటింగ్ మీ హియర్ అండ్ will be able to take all of your association. Since this shlok also talks about the association of the, you know, great devotees, and Prabhupada in the purport mentions the value of the association of devotees. And even if you see the entire Bhagavatam, right from the first canto till 12th canto, we will see the only consistent theme is association of two devotees that is giving rise to bhakti of the Supreme Lord. If we see in the first canto, there is a, you know, after the Parikshit Maharaj, he gets curse from the, you know, that son of the Brahmana. Then Parikshit Maharaj, he renounces everything and goes to the bank of the Ganges to fast till death. And by the arrangement of the Lord, because Parikshit Maharaj is from the very beginning of his life, been a devotee of the Lord. So at the end of his life, Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, he arranges Sukadeva Goswami to meet, you know, him and explain the entire Bhagavatam at the most critical time of life, the time of death. And this entire dialogue between Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami is only related to how the two devotees, you know, they... Even if you take the second canto or third or fourth, the first canto describes Parikshit Maharaj Sukadeva Goswami, then their discussion is all about how two devotees are, you know, trying to cultivate devotional service together. Second canto we see again, there can be many examples, but just the highlighted ones are second canto, Brahmaji and Narad, you know, they, you know, discuss. And then third canto we see the episode of Devahuti and Kardam Muni, they also describe graphically about the devotional service and importance of bhakti in the association of the devotees. In the fourth canto, we see Prachetas, they meet Lord Shiva, and that's how they perform their devotional service. Fifth canto, we see the episode of Jadabharat. The same thing is going on right now here. The discussion between Jadabharat and Raghuvan Maharaj. Now both of them, they realize the association and value of Parikshit, you know, devotees, as we will see here. And that's how this shloka is coming in, you know, conclusion of this chapter, how the association of the devotees is very important. And in the sixth canto, we see the story of Ajamil. He's, you know, able to take the association of Vishnu Dutas, and thereby he perfects his life. And in the same canto, there is example of Chitraketu Maharaj and Narad Muni also. Chitraketu Maharaj, when he was, you know, troubled with the material desires, and he gets the association of Narad Muni, and then he also perfects his life. In the seventh canto, we see the example of Prahlad Maharaj and Narad Muni. Prahlad Maharaj got the association of Narad Muni even before his birth in the womb. So that was another, you know, classic case study, that how the association of devotees, it affects, even if we are, you know, not so much conscious to take the association, still, if devotees are around us, they can affect our, you know, consciousness. In the eighth canto, we have example of Bali Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. Ninth canto, we have classic case study of Amrish Maharaj and Durvas Muni. And they highlight the importance of, you know, valuing the association of devotees. In the 10th canto, of course, the entire Krishna Leela is filled with how Brajavasis, they all of them are devotees, how they, you know, together worship Lord Krishna. And then in the same canto, we see the example of Nalakuvar and Manigriv. That may apply to more of our case, because, you know, the devotees of the Brajavasis are perfected. We are sadhakas trying to practice. So this example of Nalakuvar and Manigriv meeting the Narad Muni, that also highlights the importance of devotee association. In the 11th canto, there is a story of, you know, the meeting of the Nimi Maharaj with the Navai Yogendraj. And finally, the 12th canto concludes again with the final, you know, discussion with the Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadev Goswami. And Parikshit Maharaj, who at the beginning of the first canto, you may see a great failure in the life, because he was cursed to die in the 7 days, being, you know, big Chakravarti Samrat, big emperor. At the, you know, before his time, he was, you know, he was told to renounce everything. But then this 12th canto, if you see, he how happily and peacefully, you know, this, you know, is able to give up the body and go to the planet of the Lord Sri Krishna. So that's how this entire Bhagavatam is narrating the value of association of the devotees. And if we see in our even day-to-day life, many of us have come to Krishna consciousness not because we wanted to come, you know, or start, you know, bhakti. Most of the cases, if we see, you know, some devotee, he came to us, maybe he gave some books, or maybe he gave some mahaprasad, or he invited us to come to the temple, or he, you know, just like, you know, we here do youth preaching or some congregation preaching. So we just invite people. Why don't you come to the temple and do some service on, you know, whenever you have time? So people, I mean, ena kena prakarena, somehow or other, they associate with the devotees. They gradually, you know, start, you know, practicing and, you know, getting the transformation in their life. That is the value of devotee association. And apart from our, you know, everybody, all of us have some karma in our life. And according to that karma, we have to live our life. I mean, we will be forced to live, not we have to live, but we will be forced to live as per whatever our karma, as per the past life. But devotees are so powerful that they are able to change our karma. This is the difference, and this is the power of, you know, devotees compared to the demigods. In this world, people, many of the times, they pray to the demigods for their, you know, necessities and whatever they want. But if in a kind of prakare they come to the devotees or to the Lord, then they can feel the change of their karma. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he went to perform tapasya and please Lord Vishnu so that he can get greatest of the kingdom than his, you know, grandfather or greatest grandfather. But by the association of Narad Muni, his, you know, process and his thought completely changed miraculously, and he was able to say that I don't want anything apart from your devotional service. So this change can be brought only in the association of the devotees. Therefore, now in this purport, basically Prabhupada highlights two things. One is the association, value of the association of devotees. And secondly, what will happen if we go away from the association of the devotees. So as we see, in we are all, I guess that most of us here who have joined the class are either practicing or have at least started to practice the devotional service, means some chanting and, you know, some started to go into the temple or associating with the devotees. So we'll just see how the effect, how the association affects us in, you know, most striking ways. Whenever we associate with anybody, by that association, we develop some attachment with that person or object. If you see Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter, Lord Krishna says, Dhayata Vishayan Punsa Sangas Krishna Jayate, Sangas Sanjayata Kama, Kamat Krodhavi Jayate. And then that series follows. But everything begins with the dhyan, and then that converts into asakti, attachment. So to whatever thing we associate to that object, we will develop attachment. Now, if we associate with the devotees, we develop attachment to the devotees. If we associate with the non-devotees or worldly minded people, we will develop, you know, attachment to them. And then accordingly, as per their lifestyle, we will follow. Suppose we associate with the, you know, somebody who is watching cricket. Now, in India, cricket is quite famous. But in your country where you are staying, cricket is not so famous. But sometimes it is seen. Suppose Indian student, he goes to the US and then he is staying there. Suppose he stays in some hostel or some place. And I think soccer is quite popular over there. And if, you know, many of the students, they are watching soccer in their, you know, hostel sitting together. And they are all, you know, enjoying that. And then that Indian boy who doesn't know about anything about much about the soccer, because he's been a place where cricket is played, you know, quite a lot. But then because of that association, he also starts feeling that everybody is enjoying. Why should not I enjoy? And then he also starts, you know, getting some attraction towards the soccer. And gradually, he, you know, eventually he loves so much that he will, you know, start watching soccer like anything. So this is the effect of association. And, you know, contrary to this, if you associate with the devotees, I mean, this was one example, soccer and cricket. Similarly, if we associate with the devotees, we will develop, you know, whatever devotees are doing to, you know, attraction to those things. Many of the times, association means we think, you know, just remaining in the association of the devotees physically. But it is not just a physical, it is more of a emotional. Whenever there is a, you know, some contact with any object in this world, if we are involved mentally, then there can be change. So that's why many of the time we may be in the association of the devotees, but we may not experience the change of our heart. So for that, you need the emotional involvement. Just like, you know, just one example, in many of the ISKCON temples, just like the temple where we are, I'm staying here, or you may have, you know, some other temples in the place where you are staying. You have seen that there are some, you know, employees working in the temple. These employees, they work, you know, maybe for livelihood or some, for some other reason, they may have joined the temple, you know, for their job and all that. But we say, Nagi, if we associate with the devotees, then we will feel the change of our life, a change of our heart. But these people, they don't experience the change, or even after 10, 20 years, you will not see any substantial change in them. They, you know, join as an employee, they remain as an employee, and if they quit the job, they go, you know, as an employee only. Why? Because their emotional world is completely different than our emotional world. So, principally, association means exchange of the desires and exchange of the thoughts. Whenever we associate with anyone, actually, we are exchanging our thoughts and exchanging our desires. Without that, so therefore, see, even if in this world, you know, we may have to associate with worldly minded people, but if we are not emotionally involved, just, you know, Prabhupada says, for the sake of business, we may have to deal with, for the sake of anything, whatever we are, you know, our job, livelihood, or anything in this world, majority of the people are non-devotees. Devotees are minority. So therefore, we will have to face this challenge that we will associate with the non-devotees. But if we are not emotionally involved with them, just whatever we need to do, necessary, we do, and then just go away from that, you know, association, then we will be saved. Because whenever there is exchange of emotions, exchange of, you know, thoughts, then there is actually a development of the desires. Whenever we exchange thoughts, you know, emotions with other people, then their desires, they come in us. That's how the association of the devotees work. Devotees, they have desire to serve the Lord. And if we associate with the devotees, then we get that, you know, maybe you can say contamination or whatever, but positive contamination. So that, you know, association will bring those desires in us. And those desires will be seen in our life, you know, eventually as we progress, we will like to serve the devotees, we will like to, you know, start practicing devotional service, we will like to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this change we can experience over a period of time. Now, talking more about the non-devotee association, there can be two types of non-devotee associations. One is non-devotional, other is anti-devotional. Non-devotional means they may be our office colleagues and they may be, you know, just any other ordinary people with whom we encounter on our daily basis while traveling or moving around. And that is not much dangerous, but the more dangerous is anti-devotional. I mean, sometimes people, they may be your, you know, company staff and they may invite you to some parties and you may go there and then they may say, you know, you take so and so things, you know, be with us. Basically, whenever, these people, they discuss sensual topics, that time that is called as anti-devotional association. So non-devotional, we will have to, you know, on daily basis, we'll face that. But anti-devotional, we have to completely avoid, because anti-devotional is going to, you know, destroy us and corrupt our regulative principles. So that's why, even in the scriptures, if you see Ramayana or Mahabharata or Bhagavatam, there are classic 3-4 case studies, how the association affects. One example is the example of Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you see Kala Krishna Das, I mean, how association can affect us in different ways. Kala Krishna Das, he was traveling with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he meets the Bhattaharis and he gets carried away, you know, by that. There we see, just because of, you know, few moments of association with this Bhattaharis, he completely, you know, I mean, he was serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, such a fortune to be with, you know, I mean, his Supreme Lord himself. But even if we are in the association of the Supreme Lord, if you are not careful, then we can easily get carried away. This is one example, how, you know, he developed the desires to associate with the Bhattaharis. And then second example, we see the example of Ajamil in the 6th canto. Now this example of Kala Krishna Das is demonstrating that how desires get affected. Example of Ajamil, it describes how our intelligence can also get corrupted. Now Ajamil, he was a learned Brahmana and he knew everything of the scriptures and what he's supposed to do and what not supposed to do. But even in the, you know, that situation, when he sees the that prostitute and that Shudra embracing together, I mean, his intelligence completely get washed away, whatever he learned from the scriptures. See, this is how the, you know, role of association of devotees come into picture. Without the association of the devotees, we can, you know, I mean, if suppose Ajamil, he had the association of some devotees, the devotees, you know, would have, you know, told him that, what are you doing? Don't go there. Don't see that. Then he could have been saved. But because he was alone, he was completely, you know, got carried away. His intelligence completely got corrupted. Third example, we see the example of, you know, Kaikeyi and Bharat, Kaikeyi and, you know, Manthara in the Ramayana. Kaikeyi, she was so devoted to Lord Ramchandra. And before, you know, the evening of that coronation, she was so excited that tomorrow Ram will be, will be coronated as the king of Ayodhya. And she was preparing everything. But then Manthara, she comes and she tells, you know, that actually your son should become the king of Ayodhya. And then she corrupts the mind of Kaikeyi. Just because of one, you know, that one entire Ayodhya is full of devotees. But that one non-devotee, just one non-devotee. Because of that one non-devotee, Kaikeyi, she completely, you know, changes, you know, her mind and her faith completely changes. And she, you know, until the time Bharat Maharaj, I mean, that other Bharat, not the Bharat of, you know, this Bhagavatam, he comes and tells that, I don't want to become the king. My happiness is, you know, to see the Lord Ram become king. Then she comes to her senses. So these cases in the Bhagavatam and, you know, our scriptures, they demonstrate that how, if we are careless in not associating with the devotees properly, then how they can affect our desires. They can wash away our intelligence, whatever we learn for so many years, and they can destroy our faith also. And see, the faith is like, you know, tree. I mean, to build the faith, you will, you know, take a lot of years. But to destroy the faith, it takes just a small and a non-devotee association. That's it. And in the modern time, I know, just like, I mean, traditionally, people used to cut the tree with the axe, right? But now we have electric saw, that electric machine, which will cut the tree in seconds. So like that, in the modern time, the most dangerous non-devotee association is the association of, you know, internet. Of course, we are using internet for some good cause here. But then if we are not careful and not monitored by our, you know, parents, not monitored by our other, you know, devotees, then we can get easily, you know, carried away. Just like the electric saw, it can cut the tree within few seconds. Similarly, this association of the internet and technology, if you are not careful, can destroy us immediately. Therefore, Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj actually, in one of his presentation, he says that there are, you know, four challenges for the devotees in this, you know, modern time. These four challenges are, I mean, these are traditional challenges along with this modern one, Maharaj quotes. He says that the association of the opposite sex. This is number one. Second, money. And third, power. Association of opposite sex has been, you know, told so much in the Bhagavatam that if you are not careful, then what can happen? Secondly, money. The example of Nala Kuvera and Manigriu we have seen in the 10th canto. Just now we saw the list of the you know, devotees who got benefited from other devotees, or I mean, somebody may not be devotee, but then later got the association of devotees and got benefited. They were also, you know, very proud with their wealth, being son of the Kuvera. That's how they got corrupted. And in the you know, power, thirdly. Power example is Daksha Prajapati in the 4th canto, because he was Prajapati, very powerful personality, and he became very, you know, I mean, just because Lord Shiva, he did not respect him in the assembly of the all the, you know, his sabha, he thought that he's, you know, I mean, just insulting me. And you see, I mean, everybody got up, everyone, you know, respected, except for the Brahmaji, because Brahma is the father of Daksha Prajapati. Except for Brahma, everyone respected him. But this is the, I mean, effect of, you know, intoxication of power. That this one person, he did not stand. You know, and that just because of that one thought, you know, he was very offensive to Lord Shiva. So these three things, association of opposite sex more than necessary. Second, money. And third thing, power. Money or wealth, whatever you take it. And third is power. These three are traditional challenges for the sadhakas. We have been discussing about them, see, you know, in the devotee communities and on a regular basis. But the fourth challenge, Maharaj says, is the challenge of technology, the digital, you know, age that we are, you know, right now. I mean, who can imagine in the, you know, just 1 or 2, 3 years back that people, you know, devotees from different countries, different places, they come together and have, you know, Japa or Bhagavatam, or they participate in different programs. I mean, such a, you know, great blessings. But along with that comes the great responsibility also to use them in a very responsive way. And that's why the analysis of this, you know, Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj is so important for us. So therefore, because it is relevant to us, I'm taking, you know, that part. Other, you know, speakers in the previous, you know, classes, they might have or may have taken points related to Jada Bharat and Raghuvan Maharaj, or you know, King Bharat. But I would like to highlight this one point: how we have to be careful in the association of this, you know, digital media. Because we see, you know, even in if you go to the, just recap this pastime of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj, when he was kingdom, he was in his kingdom, and he, it is said that at the age of 24, something like that, he gave up his kingdom and came to the Pulava Muni's ashram, that part of the, you know, Himalaya, to practice the tapasya and his meditation and sadhana. And as we have seen, this was a very small thing, association of deer. And that too, I mean, who would imagine in this? I mean, none of you have ever imagined that, you know, thought. Association of one small deer or some animal or cat or a dog will lead to such a, you know, big change in his life, that from Bhava platform, next life he became the deer. So who can imagine? I mean, most of us are struggling with our regular anartha nivritti. We have not seen even anartha nivritti or nishta. You know, that is so higher stage for us. I mean, we may take so lightly on daily basis, casually, we may have some cats also in our home or some other pets. And we may be thinking, I'm not feeling, you know, too dangerous. I'm a danger from this particular pet or animal, or what to speak of other people. I mean, our relatives or other non-devotees, their association, we may feel, I'm not feeling, you know, that much, you know, danger from them. But this pastime of Bharat Maharaj is specifically highlighted in the middle of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that little bit of carelessness can, you know, gradually, I mean, it's not little bit carelessness, it's a small carelessness at the beginning, and then gradually it becomes even little more, and then gradually completely you are overtaken by that. I mean, Bhagavad Gita, it says, na, Bhogeshwara prasaktanam, taya aparhat chetasam, vyavasayitmeka buddhi, samadhauna vidhiyate. I mean, aparatam, aparatam basically means, in Hindi they say, aparan, means to kidnap. I mean, if we are too much entangled in the bhog and aishwarya, now this is also kind of bhog only, in one sense, because Bharat Maharaj is thinking that I am the doer, and this deer, nobody can save him except me. Even at the, you know, he forgot that whatever he learned, whatever his sadhana, that Supreme Lord is the caretaker of everyone. And we can give care to others to the extent, you know, I mean, our capacity, whatever our capacity, to that extent only we can care for someone. Beyond that, we have to leave it to the Supreme Lord or other devotees who are capable. Bharat Maharaj, and sometimes people say, did Bharat Maharaj feel, you know, because he was lonely, so did he feel, you know, loneliness, or he has some, you know, he had some emotional, you know, feelings for someone, that's why he associated with the deer? It's nothing like that. I mean, he was on the Bhava platform and he got the complete shelter of the Lord. He was not feeling, you know, alone. But this small carelessness in thinking that I am the doer, I have to take care of the deer. I mean, the deer was drowning in the Gandaki river. He saved that deer from there. That was okay. But after that, he could have, you know, let it to go on his own. Or at the most, he could have, you know, taken some care and focused on his sadhana. But the small carelessness, and especially if we are not associated with the devotees, can lead to so much danger. That's why here Raugan Maharaj is saying, and I mean in this, the concluding shloka of this chapter, highlighting the association of the devotees. That's why this, you know, Bharat Maharaj case, these 4 points I heard from one of our senior devotee here in Chopati. He gives nice analysis of this. He made 4 points. What happened to Bharat Maharaj after he got involved with the deer? I mean, we can get involved with either some person, either some object, either some, you know, anything. Then what happens? The series, the 4 things that happen, you know. Number one, Bharat Maharaj reduced his bhakti. What happened? He reduced. There was reduction in his bhakti. Because now, previously he was alone and he was doing his bhakti for Lord Vishnu. He was worshipping the Shaligram, Shila. But then later what happened? One more member got added. And that member is not a devotee. That member is non-devotee. I mean, if that member was devotee, then it could have been beneficial to Bharat Maharaj. But because that deer is a deer only. And that deer became so dear to Bharat Maharaj that he started taking it so much care that he did not have time for worshipping, you know, Shaligram. That's how he reduces bhakti, number one. Number second, now if in such cases some devotees come and they tell you, Prabhu, what are you doing? You are supposed to take, you know, 2 hours for your chanting. You are supposed to take so much time for your reading. You are supposed to take, you know, this much time for worshipping the deities. And if we are in the case of Bharat Maharaj and we are involved with someone else, something else, some object or person or whatever, which is taking us away from devotional service. And if the devotee comes and he tells, Prabhu, you are going away. What are you doing? Then what happens? Then happens reasoning or justification. Then we say, Prabhu, you don't know. I have so many things to do. I have this and that. I have so much tension. I have so much worries about my future. I have to take care of my mind also. I have to take care of my body also. Then we justify our actions. And because of that justification, nobody can help us. You know? And then what happened for Bharat Maharaj? Eventually he reduces, he reduces bhakti. I mean the focus, one pointed vyavasayatme ka buddhi samadhona vidhiyate, that samadhona vidhiyate did not happen because his chetana was completely apparent, kidnapped by that deer. And then he started even reasoning also. I need to take care of the deer. His, you know, innocent small deer. If I don't take care, then some wild animals will come and then they will eat away him. So this second thing happened to him, Bharat Maharaj. This happens to us also many of the times. If you are not, you know, in the mood to accept the feedback. Third thing, now he was practicing bhakti. It's not that, I mean, we also, if somebody comes and tells that Prabhu, you are not being decent, that we suddenly may not give up the bhakti. We will practice bhakti. But that bhakti, how we practice? Like a ritual. So Bharat Maharaj, actually he was doing everything. But then within his mind, I mean, while worshipping Shaligram, he was thinking, where is that deer? Whether he is safe? Whether he is getting his, you know, food? Or some animals might have come? And, you know, I mean, we have read, you must have gone through this section of the Bhagavatam in the earlier chapters. How Bharat Maharaj completely got, you know, think, you know, complete his attention got diverted to something else from, you know, where he was. And this too happens to us also. If we are, you know, not surrounded by the devotees specially. So therefore this pastime of Bharat Maharaj is specifically given in the fifth canto, Bhagavatam, in the middle to highlight the importance of the association of the devotees. Because after that, in the sixth canto, there will come the chanting of the holy name. And many of us will think, chanting, because Mahaprabhu also said, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Ekevalam, Kalav Nasti, 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 Katira Anyatha. Only holy name can save us. So if I just chant Hare Nam, anywhere, any place, however, I'll be saved. No, it's not like that. Actually, it is, you know, Nastiva, Nastiva means without the association of the devotees, we cannot chant. So therefore, fifth canto is giving the case study of Bharat Maharaj. Sixth canto gives the case study of Ajamil. He also got the benefit, association of the Vishnu Dutas, and that's how he started the bhakti. But after that also, he did not go to, you know, some solitary place. Ajamil, he was practicing devotional service in the Haridwar, in the Vishnu temple, where, you know, he must have got association of other devotees also. So this third thing happens to us, ritualism, which is ritually practiced, just namesake. I mean, we are chanting, but we are thinking about our business. We are chanting, we are thinking about, you know, our whatever we are doing in the outside material world, then it becomes just a ritual, right? And then the fourth that happens because of this first three things, reduction in the bhakti, then there is a reasoning why I am reducing my bhakti, third thing ritualism, and the fourth thing that happens is restlessness of the heart. And that's how Maya starts, you know, taking us away from Krishna. Then you know, feel very disturbed, you feel very restless, your heart and mind, they become, you know, very fragile now, you know, to being attacked. Now it's just a matter of time that at this point of time, this we are restless and something happens to us, some major thing happens, some, you know, financial crash or some, you know, family problem, this, that, anything that happens. In this time, we are just, you know, taken aback from devotional service. We go away. I mean, it's a very slow and gradual process. That's how we don't understand, na? See, this lifetime we live, how many days we have gone after the corona? I mean, 2 years almost. We did not realize also how fast time is going on. So imperceptible. Now we started the class. It's almost 40 minutes. Right? It's 40 minutes. We did not realize also how it passed. Of course, I'm speaking, so I may not consciously realize, but you may have realized, but 40 minutes have gone. So imperceptible. I mean, you can perceive only. That's how we don't understand how Maya is dragging us gradually, slowly, slowly, you know, from association of the devotees. So that's why, as soon as Bharat Maharaj, he became, you know, restless, and at the time of, you know, passing his, you know, giving up his body, he thought of deer. Now you may say, Bharat Maharaj was such a great devotee, why did he become deer in the next life? But Krishna says in the Gita, yam yam yapi smaran bhava sajatyante kalavaram. At the time of death, whatever you think that you have to take, Now he thought of deer, he became deer in the next life. But Krishna's grace is that although he became deer, that principle applies to anyone in the material world, in you know case of transmigration. But because he was a devotee, in the next life, even as a devotee, Krishna gave the remembrance of you know his past life. So this is the grace available for the devotees. But I mean, why we should spend one more life thinking about that grace, thinking that that grace is available even if I you know get carried away? Now I mean, next life anything can happen again. We may get distracted, but because Bharat Maharaj's bhajan was so solid, in the next life when he became you know deer, then he did not you know stay with the other deers. I mean, he gave up their association and he went again back to the Kulamuni's ashram, and there, you know, he was not eating some Bhagavatam describes he was not eating delicious grass. He would eat you know dry leaves so that he would not become attached to this body of you know being deer, and then that's how he perfected this life deer, and the next again third life he had to take it. Then he took the life of a Jada Bharat, and that's how Jada Bharat he met the Rahugana Maharaj and he benefited as we see in this you know chapter. In fact, it is said that actually that deer he incarnated in the third life as a Rahugana Maharaj, because Jada Bharat, because see Bharat Maharaj, he was a pure devotee, he wanted to save someone else, some other you know living entity. So that desire Krishna reciprocated in the third life. In the first life he wanted to save deer physically, at the physical level, at the bodily level, and the third life Krishna gave him opportunity, now you save him spiritually also. So as a you know materially he saved him in the first life, third life Jada Bharat, he was same Bharat Maharaj, he saved Rahugan Maharaj, you know, that deer as a Rahugan Maharaj in the you know form of you know that king. See, this is the effect of devotee association. That you know the someone who was a deer, in the next life he immediately became a human because of the association of the devotee. There's a Puranic story also to that. One time Narad Muni, he went to Lord Vishnu and he asked, "My Lord, I want to know what is the value of the association of the devotees." Then Lord Vishnu said, "You know, you go to the earth and you know look at that you know worm." He pointed from the Vaikuntha only, and he said, "You go to the worm and ask him." Narad Muni went there and he asked that worm that you know he asked Lord Vishnu told me to explain what is the value of association of devotees. Then that worm he did not say anything. And then just looked at Narad Muni and left his body. Then Narad Muni, he came back to Vaikuntha to Lord Vishnu and said, "Oh my God, what happened? By, you know, seeing me, that worm died. Such a, you know, sinful activity happened because of me." Then again, Lord Vishnu told him that, again, you know, look at the earth planet. See there, there is one cowshed. There is one calf. You go to that calf. He will tell you. Narad Muni said, "Already I, you know, killed one worm. I don't want to, you know, kill such a, you know, I mean, this cow is such a holy and, you know, say, you know, saintly in the Sattva Guna, that living entity. I don't want to harm him." But again, Lord Vishnu persisted that, "Now you go and ask him." Then Narad Muni again went there and asked the, you know, that calf, "What is the value of association of devotees?" Again, that calf looked at Narad Muni and left the body. Then Narad Muni this time was very, you know, surprised. I mean, such a, you know, gohatya. It is prohibited in the scriptures that you know if you kill brahmanas and if you kill cows, you have to you know rot in the hell for eternity, for a long time. Again he came back to Lord Vishnu and said that, "I'm very very sad that, and I cannot you know how do I atone for this?" And Lord Vishnu again said that, "You see, look at there, that you know you see there is one prince on the earth. You go there and you ask him." And then Narad Muni said, No, I will not go this time. I already killed, you know, cow. I cannot go and I cannot, you know, harm that, you know, human being." But Lord Vishnu persisted, "You go." Then again, Narad Muni, you know, goes there and then asks that prince that, "What is the value of association of devotees?" Then that prince said, "See, this is the effect of value of association of devotees. Previously, I was worm. Because of your association, just by your presence, I became, you know, I got promoted immediately. I mean, in the 84 lakh species journey, that worm, you know, would have gone to the different species of animals and so progresses, you know. But he progressed directly to the Satvaguni, you know, animal that is cow. This is the effect. And then from cow, I became this prince. And I'm sure, I have guarantee that now, by your association, I will have no more birth in the next, in a life. I will directly go to Vaikuntha planet. So this is the effect of association of the devotees. We can see here also that Rahugana Maharaj, he was previously deer, but then he became, you know, great King Rahugana and got the association of the same devotee. That's why we say, no, the spiritual master, Prabhupada also many times, you know, disciples will ask him that, spiritual master has to come back to deliver the disciple if the disciple is not, you know, liberated. And Prabhupada said, yes, therefore, better you practice nicely, and then I don't have to come. But of course, Prabhupada will come again and again for us. So this is how, you know, effect of devotee association acts. So Bharat Maharaj, he did, you know, neglected his sadhana, and these four things, you know, as we discussed, he reduced his bhakti, then he, you know, gave reasonings, then he became ritual, and gradually he became restless, and he gave up the bhakti. But then it was the grace of the Lord that next life, he had the remembrance of his past, you know, bhakti, and the next life, as a Jada Bharat, he delivered the Rahugana Maharaj. So coming back to our discussion, I was talking about these four challenges which Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj says. In the beginning, we discuss how the, you know, association of non-devotees can destroy us. And then we later see, you know, I'm in the second section, we are seeing in the modern time, there can be many non-devotee associations. And among them, the most prominent is the digital, you know, media, digital platform, or where we are, you know, most of the time, I mean, through our phone, WhatsApp, Facebook, or whatever we have, we are completely captured by that. And I mean, in this, you know, atmosphere, we have devotees, also non-devotees. I mean, right now you are taking the association of devotees through this medium, but there are also non-devotees, and majority are non-devotees. Minority, very, very small, is devotees. So if we are not guided by our, you know, superiors, we are not, you know, doing all these things or going there under the guidance of our association of devotees, then we may get distracted. That's how this thing happens. So now, how do we solve this? I mean, these challenges there, Prabhuji, but what we can do? We have to deal with the technology. We have to use these things. We have to go to the market. We have to associate with the non-devotees. I mean, sometimes, most of the time, you may have non-devotional association. Sometimes you may have anti-devotional also, right? And this internet is pakka anti-devotional. If we are not care enough to take care, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the greatest non-devotee, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the greatest non-devotee you are living with is your mind. Mind is pakka ek 100% non-devotee. So we are already associated with the non-devotees. One more non-devotee has come, which is also, you know, soft. This mind is also, you know, subtle body, and this is also very subtle. And both of them are there. And if we are not careful, then we can easily get carried away. So what is the solution? I mean, how do we, you know, take care of ourselves in such atmosphere? So for this, Gaurampu most of the time says that if we are, you know, or if we have to be in a place or deal in situations in a life where we are, you know, forced to associate with the non-devotees or non-devotional items, then what we have to do? We have to increase our immunity against them. See, just like in the corona times or any other medical practitioner, or many, some of you may be, you know, working in the medical field or whatever related, you know, fields, you have seen that whenever doctors, they visit corona patients. Now they have to visit. Suppose we are in the hospital staff, we have to go to the hospital, we have to go to the market. Now there is corona all, you know, everywhere. But then what we can do? We cannot avoid. Then what we can do? We protect ourselves properly. We take proper, you know, vaccination, or we keep our health nice. And that by, you know, that's how we maintain our immunity and we don't get affected by that. Now that's why in the traditional system, we have these three things for sadhakas. We have a sadhana on daily basis. We chant our rounds. We follow four regular principles. And we associate with the, you know, devotees and nourish ourselves. Sadhana. We also do seva. By doing service, we get nourished. And we also do swadhyaya. Just like, you know, right now, we are doing swadhyaya kind of thing. these three things are there. But apart from that, I mean, this is a classic case study Radhanu Maharaj has given us. Maharaj said that there was an ashram in some place somewhere. And I'll not take the name. But in that ashram, many brahmacharis were there and some other grihastas must be there. Everyone, that ashram was flourishing. And everyone was doing sadhana nicely, that good seva and good swadhyaya. Right? But despite that, that ashram collapsed. Many devotees left, and who were practicing whatever, they also left their practice. How did this happen? The Radhani Maharaj gives the another, you know, formula for this. I mean, these three things are mandatory. These three things have to be there for us. This sadhana, seva, and swadhyaya. Maharaj also says four more things. He says that, see, the number one challenge for us in our daily sadhana is we are not surrounded by the devotees. See, we can practice sadhana nicely only if we are in the association of the devotees. Alone, we cannot practice. That's why this Sangha, what do you call this, Japa or whatever Bhakti Mark Sangha you say, this association is created so that we study, understand, you know, value of association of devotees. On our own, ekaki amanahir bal. Alone, we don't have, Bhakti Sangha Japa group. Yes, thank you so much. So this Sangha and group, Sangha means association and group means, you know, samuha or, company of the devotees. Just like it is Sanskrit, there is one, probably said Kalau Sangha Shakti. In Kaliyuga, power is in the association. You see, anybody who would like to, take some, campaign or put some, highlight some issues to the government or to any organization, what they do? They have union, they have association. And through that, they bombard. Suppose you are taking some, want to ask government to, take it down something or do some, welfare activities or whatever. You don't go alone with the application, do this. Nobody will see you, nobody will listen. But if you go thousands of people marching, then the government will take seriously. Similarly, in the association, we have power. That's why Maharaj says this, four things he gives, that to be in the association, see, it is clear that bhakti is the only thing that can, develop good qualities in us and, promote us to the, higher platform, to the higher status of life. I mean, in terms of spirituality, not in terms of materialism. We can achieve good in life only if we have bhakti. But how do we practice bhakti? Alone, difficult. And to practice in the bhakti in the association of devotees, difficult. Why difficult? Maharaj says these four things. Number one, he says relationships. We have to take care of our relationship with the devotees. And relationships means not just, sometimes devotees are so fanatical. we think that, it may not be a high standard of the devotional service. But if you think that if you don't talk about spirituality and the association of devotees, then what's the point? Suppose there was one example, a very good example. Chaitanya Prabhu has given one example in some classes I heard. He said that one time, one devotee, he went to his counselor and said that, Prabhuji, today is my birthday. Then the counselor said, wow, today's birthday. He said, how old is your stool bag now? As soon as the devotee heard this, how old is your stool bag? He said, what? Somebody on your birthday, if you go to, get blessings and he says something like that, how do you feel? So sometimes you feel devotee association means, see, we can discuss spiritual things, definitely we should discuss, but then things related to, some things which can promote our bhakti, that also we should, encourage. If you encourage the devotee, today is your birthday, okay, nice. How many rounds you're chanting? Now increase your chant. We can encourage in that way also positively. It is a fact that, what is the point in, just celebrating our birthdays and this and that? Ultimately, this body is just, material body. We may think like that, but the atmosphere, the desh, kal, patra, time plus circumstances, the candidate, we have to see the sensitivity and deal sensitively. That's why number one thing is relationships. If our relationships were good among ourselves, then we can be in the association. Second thing Maharaj says, etiquette. Etiquette means I mean, we may not deal, you know, in like anything. There are levels to deal with, you know, seniors, juniors, and equals. We have to deal accordingly. And if you have a nice etiquette, then we will not commit the offenses. If your etiquette is not good, just like in the 10th canto, there is an example of Shaubhuri Muni and Garuda. And Shaubhuri Muni, he was residing in that lake where Kaliya was, you know, living. When Shaubhuri Muni, he was trying to protect the, you know, the fishes. Narumuni comes and he says that, Garuda comes and he says that, you know, I want to eat those fishes. These are my breakfast. Then Shaubhuri Muni curses him. You can't eat them. I am going to protect them. That's how he commits the offense at the lotus feet of Garudaji. And because of that offense, he wanted to save just one single small, you know, the small, you know, group of fishes. But then later when Kaliya comes, he completely destroys everyone. Right? Because Kaliya was not coming there because of the fear of Garudaji. But because Shaubhuri Muni just completely, you know, banned Garudaji to come there, he cursed him. So Garudaji did not come, and because of that, Kaliya came and then destroyed everyone. So that's how offenses can just, you know, multiply and destroy so many things. So therefore, Maharaj says etiquette. And then he says, third thing, depth of the philosophy. We should be very, you know, much, you know, rooted in our core philosophy. And the fourth thing is his character. We have to be, you know, good in following the four legged principles and all other sadachar and all that. So therefore, Maharaj says that apart from these three traditional things, sadhana, seva, and swadhyaya, if we have to perform nice sadhana with the devotees, nice seva and swadhyaya, we have to take care of these four things: relationships, etiquette, depth of the philosophy, and character. We may not just study, you know, books like for the sake of studying. Study it nicely, understand. Because as we have seen, just to summarize the conclusion, the whole challenge for us is because our consciousness is not clear. On the daily basis, we face so many problems, right? In the modern time, and there have been so many challenges, so many problems for many people because of the corona, because of the financial, you know, crisis or health crisis, this and that, so many relationship problems, generation gap. I mean, such a generation gap because of this advancement of so much technology. Suddenly from, you know, the, we may think that 10, 20, 50 years back, it was like, you know, some old, you know, middle age time. And now suddenly this technology and this and that, last 20 years, so much advancement of, you know, these gadgets and devices. We may feel, you know, such a sudden change in life. And people, those who are, you know, of 1950s, 60s, 70s, they are not able to relate to the, you know, current time. And those who are born in the, you know, this period of, you know, last 10, 20 years, they are not able to understand what our seniors are saying. Such a generation gap because of, you know, so much change in the society today. And, you know, the interesting part of this technology gadgets is that, you know, some few years back, 100 years back, 50 years back, when there was conflict between science and religion, mostly in the Western world, the church and the scientists like Galileo, Copernicus, there was, you know, the conflict. And as the science advanced, people thought that science is all in all, it is solving our problem, giving so many things, it's saving our time. And as the science came up, they say science, but actually it's not a science. Whatever advancement we have made in the field of science, so-called science, in the last 50, you know, 60, you know, years, it is not an advancement of science, but advancement of technology. You know, what is the difference between science and technology? Science means actually trying to know the things, and technology means trying to control the things. What we are trying to do nowadays is trying to manipulate the nature, trying to control, trying to, you know, squeeze how much we can take out from the nature without understanding its repercussions. And that's why we see so many of these karmic reactions, they come to all of us in different forms, like corona or whatever may be, earthquake, tsunami, this and that. And so therefore, this generation gap of, you know, people not able to understand and relate, you know, the people right now and the people previously. And this technology, sometime, you know, some few years back, many times, some scientists, they said that because of this technology, na, we are going to save our time. Now, just like, see, we here also, we conduct our classes, like Bhakti Shastri classes or other classes online. And we think, wow, what a saving of the time. We don't have to travel so far and go to the classroom, sit physically. Everything is done online. And like that, many other things are, you know, done with the, you know, technology and machine so fast. Like we have a washing machine closer, you know, wash nicely. You just have free time. And one scientist says that, what will people do with so much free time? This will be another problem in the 21st century. But you see right now, are we free because of this technology? We are not free. I mean, everything, most of the things are done by machine only. But still we are not free. And note counting, you have seen in the banks. Previously, people used to count on their hands. Now this note counting machine is there. Of course, we do verify hand counting also. But then, so many digitalization that everything is done so automatically. But do we have the free time? We don't have free time. We are more busy and engaged unnecessarily. You know why? Because technology is in the mode of passion. This is the product of mode of passion. And the product of mode of passion can never make you satisfied. See, in the Gita 14th chapter, Krishna says, Rajo ragatmukam vidhi, Krishna sangha savudmhavam. That the effect of mode of association is Krishna, desire for more and more and more and more and more. So whatever and however you have, you will not be satisfied. This is the symptom of mode of passion. I want more. I want more. And therefore, even if people are free, I mean, suppose everything is done by technology and machines and this and that, you are free. Then what do? Okay, I can watch this video. I can chat with this person. I mean, this phone, which, you know, the product of mode of passion, can be used in the service of Krishna. We are using definitely. But if you are not careful, then that non-devotee association, then what do? We associate with everything and anything in the internet world. And because we watch some, you know, games, we do, you know, play games, some watch some cricket and maybe soccer in your place, and some movies and videos and this and that and that, that generates even more passion. Previously we had the passion. Now this is again generating more passion. And then because of that passion, we have more desires. And the number one, you know, cause of this association is comparison. Oh, this person has more than me. This has more than me. I should get this. I should get that. And then more work. So this is cycle actually. We watch. I mean, first of all, we, you know, work in our job and this and that. We earn. And with this, we get all these things after working. And then we watch. We think that I'm relaxing. Such a relaxing. I'm watching some videos and movies and this and that. But we get more desires because of that non-devotee association. Then we work, then we watch, and then we go for shopping because we get the desire to shop more and more and more. And to shop more, you have to again work more. So this is a cycle. We work, then we watch, then we shop, and then again we work. Right? So this is the thing that is happening in the modern time because of the technology. And that interferes with our regular sadhana, regular, you know, study of the scriptures. All of us know that we have to, you know, chant nicely. Our chanting should be very nice so as to deal with the day-to-day basis, you know, problems in life and raise our consciousness. Because we can solve the problems only if our consciousness is, you know, Krishna conscious. So this is the sum and substance of our movement. Summary of the entire sadhana process of spirituality, that, you know, this is very, you know, systematically explained by the Lord in the Ishopanishad. Ishopanishad says that we have to cooperate with the plan of the Lord. We should take whatever is in our quota and not take more than our not necessary. And sometimes if we don't get our quota, not complain. Don't complain. Just tolerate that. This is the, you know, throughout different books of or any religion, they say whatever you get by the mercy of the Lord, be satisfied with that. Don't create further karma by complaining and criticizing and, you know, craving for that which is not your part, which is not for you, not meant for you. So most of the problems in our life, they can be solved if our consciousness is clear. And that consciousness is not clear most of the time because we are not practicing our spirituality nicely. See, ultimately, we are not controller, right? Most of the things are beyond our control. Things will sometimes go in our favor, sometimes go against us. And things, when they go against us, that time We have to accept that and cooperate with the plan of the Lord. Lord has some plan for us. He wants to, you know, get some things done through some person, or Lord wants to, you know, elevate some person to some level, or, you know, degrade. Of course, not degrade. This is our own free will. But then Lord arranges for that also if you want to get degraded. But Lord has a plan, especially for the devotees. And Lord says that you cooperate with my plan. But we are not able to accept the plan of the Lord because our consciousness is not clear. So only when we chant nicely, practice this spiritually nicely, you know, by then only our thought will be clear, our mind will be clear, and then we can cooperate, accept whatever Lord is, you know, giving us or not giving us, either way. And therefore, you know, this association of devotees comes in the major, you know, picture, role. Because unless we have good association, we can't practice nicely. We can't practice nicely bhakti. We cannot have, you know, good qualities within us. And if we don't good qualities, clear consciousness, we cannot cooperate with the Lord. And then that's how we just go away, degraded from the bhakti. That's why in the sixth canto, the story of this Chitraketu Maharaj, and Narad Muni comes and he blesses him with the sun. But that sun is a Harsha Shoka. He gives Harsha also, happiness, and Shoka also. And that Harsha Shoka, he gives up, you know, the other queens, they poison the that baby. That story you may be, you know, reading in the coming canto, the sixth canto. But just the summary of that story is, when Chitraketu Maharaj, she got cursed from Parvati. That time Chitraketu Maharaj, because he was elevated to Gandharvas, king of the Gandharvas, Chitraketu Maharaj, when he, you know, just laughed at the Lord Shiva and got cursed from Parvati, then Chitraketu Maharaj, when he became the, you know, Vritrasu in the next life, what he says in his prayer, you know, he says that, yeah, this time, last time, I performed bhakti alone. And that's why I fell down. And how did I fall down? Because I criticized the greatest of the devotees. This time, what I will do? I want association of the devotees. That's why Vritrasuri prays in his prayers, it is very dangerous to do bhakti alone. I mean, we may be doing our sadhana perfect, you know, 64 rounds or whatever, ekdam pakka, every day, getting up in the 3:30 in the morning, we may feel proud. Wow, I'm so great. You know, there's no one like me. And that pride will eventually lead to offenses to the devotees. You'll offend someone, definitely. And because of the offense, again, Pundarmushika Bhava. The story Prabhupada says, rat, and, you know, that rat, he said that dog is chasing me, you know, make me, cat. Then cat says, that dog is chasing me. Dog says, tiger is chasing me, make me tiger. Ultimately, tiger says, I want to now eat you. Then that said that you become now again rat. You don't have qualification to remain as, you know, tiger. Similarly, we become powerful and practice especially alone, we may get the proud. Therefore, Chitraguru Vritrasura says that, I want to practice bhakti in the association of the devotees. Please give me association of the devotees. This is the continuous prayer throughout the Bhagavatam. Different devotees, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, everyone asking association of the devotees, nothing else. When we are practicing in the association of devotees, it will become very, you know, easy to, you know, get Krishna. Alone we cannot get Krishna. That's why Narottama Thakur says, Tandera Charana Savi Bhakta Sanevas Janama Janame Hoi Ehi Abhilash. Life after life, this is the only desire I have. I want association of the devotees. Because in the association of the devotees, even if we sleep, even if we fall, still devotees are there to care for us. And if you are alone, like Bharat Maharaj, then it is, you know, just a matter of time. Bharat Maharaj, of course, he was such a great king and such a great devotee of the Lord on the Bhava platform. If he can get diverted, then what to speak of? We are already diverted. I mean, on daily basis, we are already getting diverted so many times. And if we don't keep the company of the devotees, it is sure that will, you know, just glide down into the material consciousness. So that's why we have to keep the association of devotees. And especially in the association of devotees, one more thing. Sajatiya Asha Snigdha Sangha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, even in the association of devotees, we have to select association of like-minded devotees. Those who are like-minded. Like-minded means, I mean, we have to respect all the devotees. But suppose some devotee, he's, you know, mindset is not matching with our, I mean to say, suppose you are a book distributor, and if you associate with the devotee who is deity worshipper, I mean, if suppose they are Kanishta Adhikaris, they will quarrel and argue, Are Baba, book distribution is not important, deities are important. And he will say, Prabhupada said book distribution is important. Right? So there can be, this is a small example. If association is not like-minded, then we may get even just diverted and distracted. So therefore, even in the association of devotees, we have to select association of like-minded. You are a book distributor, associate with the book distributor and discuss, think about how we can increase it. Now, if you go and ask, someone who is, doing some other, suppose somebody is in a cook in the kitchen. If you ask him how to do book distribution, he will say, sit here, I will tell you, cut these vegetables. I mean, different devotees have different likings, and accordingly, they have to associate it. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Sajatiya Asha Snigdha Sangha. And then we can move forward. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very, very much, Prabhuji, for giving valuable association and giving us the stuff on getting in the Bhagavad class. We have touched on so many points, Prabhuji, especially the association of devotees, how important it is, to bring us to the being in the bhakti and having the good association of the devotees and like-minded people. And you talked about so many things, and a couple of points is sadhana, seva, and sajaya, along with four things that we need to remember is the relationships, ethic, and the philosophy, depth in the philosophy, and the character, how important they are for us to keep in this association and elevate us. And thank you so much, Prabhuji. I will ask devotees if they have any questions. Please go ahead and ask the questions. Prabhuji, do you have time for the questions, Prabhuji?
Just 5 minutes, not more than that, because I have another class after 1 hour. Okay. I will take a little bit. Yeah.
So please, devotees, if you have any questions, please go ahead. I see Anita Mataji raised her hand. Mataji, please go ahead.
Yes, Hare Krishna. Yeah, Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for that such a wonderful, wonderful class. It was so enlightening. What is the importance of devotees association, which has been going on in this 5th canto of Jadabharata? And my question is, you were saying that even in devotees association also, we have to be with the like-minded devotees. So that was really a good point, which I had to take away. And one more thing is, if we are associated with the devotees, non-devotees who are in the family also, because in this present Kali Yuga, there may be in a family, either husband or wife or child or brother or sister, anyone might be devoted, but other members are not devoted. So what is their, they may be facing so much problem in that way. So how and what is the solution for that, Prabhuji?
Yes, this is a challenge faced by everyone, almost everyone. And that's why I told you, if our consciousness is clear, we can accept the way Lord has arranged for us in this lifetime. And for that, definitely, now if suppose our family members, they are not practicing and we are practicing, there's a conflict all the time. Then one point you can take first is, Krishna is giving us an opportunity to make us remain humble. Sometimes all the devotee family members are devotees. Everything is going nicely. We become our pura family devotee. There's another pride in that. So take it, in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, this, Janatri Arhi Samsadhi, that 20 qualities in the 13th chapter, slok number, 8 to 12, in that one, this point comes that we have to associate with
13th. Okay, Prabhuji.
In that, Prabhupada says that we have to associate with our family members to the extent it is required. But Prabhupada writes there that they are, they are meant for our, to receive our natural affection, because that affection is there naturally between the family members. We can't say, I am devotee, you are non-devotee, I will not deal with you.
Yeah.
We have to give our affection to them. This is our another duty as a family. If we don't do this, then Krishna will not be happy with us. So Krishna is, I take it like that. Can be many answers for this. But I take it like that, that Krishna is giving me an opportunity to become humble. and I have to accept Krishna the way it is. And I continue to pray, and by the prayers of devotees and by, you know, mercy of Krishna, one day things will turn out. They become devotees. See, I'll tell you one story, just not to take so much, you know, your time also. Our one brahmachari, he was giving class some time back, some 2 weeks back. So one brahmachari, he was telling that when he became, you know, became devotee, he started reading Prabhupada books, and he is a brahmachari now here. He had this one book, you know, Bhakti Vikas Maharaj's one book is there, Brahmacharya and Krishna Consciousness. You must have seen that. That book he was reading in his family, in a home. He was alone. And other devotees, other family members, they are not devotees by that time. And they were saying that this, you know, he's reading books nowadays, and he's asking for separate prasad. I don't want any onion garlic. So they used to cook him, you know, separately. And this Prabhuji is eating separately his prasadam and everything. And the other family members, they used to tell, "Hey, whatever you are eating, that, you know, appears to be very tasty whenever we taste it. So why don't you, you know, tell us how to cook in that way and how to, you know, get that?" See, this is the way devotees have to exemplify. Tolerate the situation, understand that Krishna has placed me in this situation for some reasons. I mean, these family members, they may not become devotee by directly telling me, "You become devotee, chant Hare Krishna." They will not become. But if you practice and set the example, then they will turn out to be devotees. So this Prabhuji, when he was doing everything, and after some time he left the home and he came to the ashram, then, you know, these family members, you know, his other brother and his brother's wife and parents, they all, you know, started gradually thinking that whatever he was cooking, you know, used to appear very tasty. Let us cook in that way. So they started, you know, offering bhoga and making prasadam. They started eating, and gradually, and, you know, that brother's wife, you know, she just checked, you know, his room, and she found some books, and she said, "What are these books? Let me also read these books." They started reading books also. Then gradually, see, this is the Prabhupada just has to reach them somehow or other. They started reading books, having prasadam, and now they are full-fledged devotee family, complete. So this is the effect. We have to just understand that Krishna has some plan, let me go with this, and not try to force them, become devotee, become devotee. If you force, you will also, you know, gradually leave bhakti. Just accept them, give your affection to them. At least accept, and I mean, in our family also, my father did not become devotee initially, but he did not protest. He at least accepted, okay, you practice. And many cases are like that. Our parents, they will not, you know, throw out, "Go away from here." They will be there, but they may not participate in our program. But we have to just accept that way. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
So, I would like to hear, you know, take your leave. I mean, you can discuss further. I mean,
yeah, Raj Prabhu.
I mean, now you can answer the question.
Thank you so much, Prabhu, for enlightening this class, and we are very, very grateful for you, Prabhu. We look forward to your association. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Prabhu.
Come back again.